Chapter 25 Dash Causes of the Deposition of Cyril, Bishop of Jerusalem. Mutual dissensions among the bishops. Malichus is ordained by the Arians, and supplants Astartheus in the bishopric of Sebaste. Besides the prelates above mentioned, Cyril, Bishop of Jerusalem, was deposed, too, because he had admitted Astartheus and Elpidius into communion, after they had opposed the decrees enacted by those convened at Mytina, among whom was Cyril himself, and because he had also received Basil and George, Bishop of Laodicea, into communion after their deposition in Palestine. When Cyril was first installed in the bishopric of Jerusalem, he had a dispute with Acacius, Bishop of Caesarea, concerning his rights as a metropolitan, which he claimed on the ground of his bishopric being an apostolic see. This dispute excited feelings of enmity between the two bishops, and they mutually accused each other of unsoundness of doctrine concerning the Godhead. In fact, they had both been suspected previously, the one, that is, Acacius, of favoring the heresy of Arius, and the other, of siding with those who maintain that the Son is in substance like unto the Father. Acacius being thus inimically disposed towards Cyril, and finding himself supported by the bishops of the province, who were of the same sentiments as himself, contrived to depose Cyril under the following pretext. Jerusalem and the neighboring country was at one time visited with a famine, and the poor appealed in great multitudes to Cyril, as their bishop, for necessary food. As he had no money to purchase the requisite provisions, he sold for this purpose the veil and sacred ornaments of the church. It is said that a man, having recognized an offering which he had presented at the altar as forming part of the costume of an actress, made it his business to inquire whence it was procured, and ascertained that a merchant had sold it to the actress, and that the bishop had sold it to the merchant. It was under this pretext that Acacius deposed Cyril, and on inquiry I find these to be the facts. It is said that the Acacians then expelled from Constantinople all the bishops above mentioned who had been deposed. 10 bishops of their own party who had refused to subscribe to these edicts of deposition were separated from the others, and were interdicted from performing the functions of the ministry or ruling their churches until they consented to give their signatures. It was enacted that unless they complied within 6 months, and yielded their assent to all the decrees of the council, they should be deposed, and that the bishops of every province should be summoned to elect other bishops in their stead. After these determinations and deeds, letters were then sent to all the bishops and clergy, to observe and fulfill its decrees. As a consequence, not long after, some of the Eudoxian party were substituted here and there. Eudoxius himself took possession of the bishopric of Macedonius, Athanasius was placed over the church of Basil, and Eunomius, who was 322 subsequently the leader of a heresy bearing his name, took the see of Eleusius, and Melitus was appointed to the church of Sebaste, instead of Astartheus. Chapter 26 Dash Death of Macedonius, Bishop of Constantinople. What Eudoxius said in his teaching. Eudoxius and Acacius strenuously sought the abolition of the formularies of faith set forth at Nicaea and at Ariminum, troubles which thence arose in the churches. Macedonius, 1, on his expulsion from the church of Constantinople, retired to one of the suburbs of the city, where he died. Eudoxius took possession of his church in the 10th year of the consulate of Constantius, and the 3rd of Julian, surnamed Caesar. It is related that, at the dedication of the great church called Sophia, when he rose to teach the people, he commenced his discourse with the following proposition: "The Father is impious, the Son is pious," and that, as these words excited a great commotion among the people, he added, "Be calm. The Father is impious, because he worships no one, the Son is pious, because he worships the Father." On this explanation, he threw his audience into laughter. Eudoxius and Acacius jointly exerted themselves to the utmost in endeavoring to cause the edicts of the Nicene Council to fall into oblivion. They sent the formulary read at Ariminum with various explanatory additions of their own to every province of the empire, and procured from the emperor an edict for the banishment of all who should refuse to subscribe to it. But this undertaking, which appeared to them so easy of execution, was the beginning of the greatest calamities, for it excited commotions throughout the empire, and entailed upon the church in every region a persecution more grievous than those which it had suffered under the pagan emperors. 2. For if this persecution did not occasion such tortures to the body as the preceding ones, it appeared more grievous to all who reflected aright, on account of its disgraceful nature, for both the persecutors and the persecuted belonged to the church, and the one was all the more disgraceful in that men of the same religion treated their fellows with a degree of cruelty which the ecclesiastical laws prohibit to be manifested towards enemies and strangers. Chapter 27. Macedonius, after High's rejection from High's See, blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, propagation of High's heresy through the instrumentality of Marathonius and others. The spirit of innovation is self-laudatory. 3. And hence it advanced further and further, and crept along to greater novelties with increasing self-conceit, and in scorn of the fathers it enacted laws of its own, nor does it honor the doctrines of the ancients concerning God, but is always thinking out strange dogmas and restlessly adds novelty to novelty as the events now show. For after Macedonius had been deposed from the Church of Constantinople, he renounced the tenets of Acacius and Eudoxius. 4. He began to teach that the Son is God, and that he is in all respects and in substance like unto the Father, but he affirmed that the Holy Ghost is not a participant of the same dignities, and designated him a minister and a servant, and applied to him whatever could, without error, be said of the holy angels. This doctrine was embraced by Eleusius, Astartheus, and by all the other bishops who had been deposed at Constantinople, by the partisans of the opposite heresy. Their example was quickly followed by no small part of the people of Constantinople, Bithynia, Thrace, the Hellespont, and of the neighboring provinces, for their mode of life had no little influence, and to this do the people give special attention. They assumed great gravity of demeanor, and their discipline was like that of the monks. Their conversation was plain and of a style fitted to persuade. It is said that all these qualifications were united in Marathonius. He originally held a public appointment in the army, under the command of the prefect. After amassing some money in this employment, he quit military science, and undertook the superintendence of the establishments for the relief of the sick and the destitute. Afterwards, at the suggestion of Astartheus, bishop of Sebaste, he embraced an ascetic mode of life, and founded a monastical institution in Constantinople which exists to the present day. He brought so much zeal, and so much of his own wealth to the support of the aforesaid heresy, that the Macedonians were by many termed Marathonians, and it seems to me not without reason, for it appears that he alone, together with his institutions, was the cause that it was not altogether extinguished in Constantinople. In fact, after the deposition of Macedonius, the Macedonians possessed neither churches nor bishops until the reign of Arcadius. 5. The Arians, who drove out of the churches and rigorously persecuted all who held different sentiments from themselves, deprived them of all these privileges. It would be no easy task to enumerate the names of the priests who were at this period ejected from their own cities, for I believe that no province of the empire was exempted from such a calamity. Chapter 28. The Arians, under the impression that the divine Melchus upheld their sentiments, translate him from Sebaste to Antioch. On High's bold confession of the orthodox doctrines, they were confounded, and after they had deposed him they placed Eusaeus in the see. Melchus formed High's own church, but those who held to consubstantiality turned away from him because he had been ordained by Arians. At the period that Eudoxius obtained the government of the Church of Constantinople, 1. There were many aspirants to the see of Antioch, and as is frequently the case under such circumstances, contentions and seditions divided the clergy and the people of that church. Each party was anxious to commit the government of the church to a bishop of its own persuasion, for interminable disputes concerning doctrine were rampant among them, and they could not agree as to the mode of singing psalms, and, as has been before stated, psalms were sung by each individual, in conformity with his own peculiar creed. Such being the state of the church at Antioch, The partisans of Eudoxius thought it would be well to entrust the bishopric of that city to Meletius, then bishop of Sebaste, he being possessed of great and persuasive eloquence, of excellent life, and all, as they imagined, being of like opinions with themselves. They believed that his reputation would attract the inhabitants of Antioch and of the neighboring cities to conform to their heresy, particularly those called Dastarthians, who had adhered invariably to the Nicene doctrines. But their expectations were utterly frustrated. It is said that on his first arrival in Antioch, an immense multitude, composed of Arians, and of those who were in communion with Paulinus, flocked around him. Some wished to see the man because his fame was great, even before his coming. Others were anxious to hear what he had to say, and to ascertain the nature of his opinions, for a report had been spread abroad which was afterwards proved to be true, that he maintained the doctrines of those convened at Nicaea. In his first discourses he confined himself to instructing the people in what we call ethics. Afterwards, however, he openly declared that the Son is of the same substance as the Father. It is said that at these words, the archdeacon of the church, who was then one of the clergy there, stretched out his hand, and covered the mouth of the preacher, but that he continued to explain his sentiments more clearly by means of his fingers than he could by language. He extended three fingers only towards the people, closed them, and then allowed only one finger to remain extended, and thus expressed by signs what he was prevented from uttering. As the archdeacon, in his embarrassment, seized the hand, he released the mouth, the tongue was free, and Meletius declared his opinion still more clearly and with a loud voice, and exhorted his auditors to adhere to the tenets of the Council of Nicaea, and he testified to his hearers that those who held other views deviated from the truth. As he persisted in the enunciation of the same sentiments, either by word of mouth or by means of signs, when the archdeacon closed his mouth, a contention between both sides occurred, not unlike that of the Pacritium. The followers of Astartheus shouted aloud and rejoiced and leapt, while the Arians were cast down. Eudoxius and his partisans were transported with indignation at this discourse, and contrived by their machinations to expel Meletius from Antioch. Soon afterwards, however, they recalled him, for they fancied he had renounced his former sentiments and had espoused theirs. As, however, it soon became apparent that his devotion to the Nicene doctrines was firm and unalterable, he was ejected from the church, and banished by order of the emperor, and the see of Antioch was conferred on Eusoas, who had formerly been banished with Arius. The followers of Meletius separated themselves from the Arians, and held their assemblies apart, for those who had from the beginning maintained that the Son is consubstantial with the Father refused to admit them into communion, because Meletius had been ordained by Arian bishops, and because his followers had been baptized by Arian priests. For this reason they were separated, although holding the same views. The emperor, having been informed that an insurrection was about to arise in Persia, repaired to Antioch. Chapter 29. The partisans of Acacius again do not remain quiet, but strive to abolish the term consubstantial, and to confirm the heresy of Arius. The partisans of Acacius, too, were not able to remain in tranquility, and they therefore assembled together with a few others in Antioch, and condemned the decrees which they had themselves enacted. They decided to erase the term similar from the formulary which had been read at Ariminum and at Constantinople, and affirmed that in all respects, in substance and in will, the Son is dissimilar from the Father, and that he proceeded from what had no previous existence, even as Arius had taught from the commencement. They were joined by the partisans of Aetius, who had been the first after Arius to venture openly upon the profession of these opinions. Hence Aetius was called atheist, and his approvers, Anomians and Exuconchians. When those who maintained the Nicene doctrines demanded of the Acacians how they could say that the Son is dissimilar from the Father, and that he proceeded out of nothing, when it was affirmed in their own formulary that he is God of God, they replied that the Apostle Paul had declared that all things are of God, 1, and that the Son is included in the term all things, and that it was in this sense, and in accordance with the sacred scriptures, that the expressions in their formulary were to be understood. Such were the equivocations and sophistry to which they had recourse. At length, finding that they could advance no efficient argument to justify themselves in the opinion of those who pressed them on this point, they withdrew from the assembly, after the formulary of Constantinople had been read a second time, and returned to their own cities. Chapter 30. George, Bishop of Antioch, and the chief priests of Jerusalem. Three chief priests successively succeed Cyril. Restoration of Cyril to the See of Jerusalem. During this period, too, Athanasius was obliged to remain in concealment, and George returned to Alexandria, and commenced a cruel persecution against the pagans, and against the Christians who differed from him in opinion. He compelled both parties to offer worship in the mode he indicated, and where opposition was made, he enforced obedience by compulsion. He was hated by the rulers because he scorned them and was giving orders to the officers, and the multitude detested him on account of his tyranny, for his power was greater than all the rest. The pagans regarded him with even greater aversion than the Christians, because he prohibited them from offering sacrifices, and from celebrating their ancestral festivals, and because he had on one occasion introduced the governor of Egypt, three, and armed soldiery into the city, and despoiled their images, votives and temple ornaments. This was, in fact, the cause of his death, on which I will dwell. On the deposition of Cyril, Irenaeus obtained the Church of Jerusalem. 4. He was succeeded by Heraclius, and to Heraclius succeeded Hilarius, for we have gathered from tradition that in that period these persons administered the church there, until the reign of Theodosius, when Cyril was once more restored to his own see.